Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Just a little farther. That was what I had been telling my wife and daughters repeatedly, almost since we started the trek. And while I knew we hadn't even made it halfway up the mountainside, I didn't want them to get discouraged. At the time, we were living in Alaska and hiking the Skyline Trail as a family. The hike was supposed to be moderately difficult, and even though my family had no prior experience with mountain hikes, we could do this, I thought. After all, we had heard about the amazing views from the top, being able to see Anchorage and even Mount Denali on a clear day, making that our goal. Thankfully, from where we began at the trailhead, trees blocked the upward view of our destination. Along the way, I know I was more prepared for what to do had we seen a bear than I was for the complaints I began to hear. Isn't this high enough? My feet hurt. Can we turn around yet? I'm tired. The complaints mounted the higher we went, and we weren't even out of the tree line yet. In all fairness, though, for those of you who have never hiked any elevation, it's very deceiving and much more difficult than level ground hiking. And while most of the time the grade wasn't excessively steep, undoubtedly it was testing my family, pushing them physically and mentally to their limit. Along the way, we had taken several breaks during our ascent, and through my seemingly endless encouragement, "Don't give up now. Come on, just a little farther. I promise it'll be worth it," we pressed on. Finally, after what seemed like an eternity for my wife and daughters, we broke through the tree line and made it to a rocky saddle near the mountaintop. And while we didn't continue to the summit, we were within a stone's throw of it, and I was proud they had stuck it out that far. Sore, blistered feet were forgotten as our kids played in the snowfields on that hot June day, and everyone stood in awe of the panoramic scenery. From our vantage point, everyone unanimously agreed the physical effort of the hike was well worth it, for the view was truly breathtaking, and not because of the altitude. That day was truly memorable for my family, for they had learned a lesson in persistence, demonstrating how all their exertion and effort were eventually rewarded. Brothers and sisters in Christ, similarly, in our Old Testament reading, we heard how Jacob learned an even greater lesson in persistence. Leading up to this, a lot had happened in the 20 years before his wrestling match with God. Having tricked his brother Esau out of the birthright, the firstborn's inheritance, Jacob fled to a foreign country. There, his soon-to-be father-in-law, Laban, turned the tide and was the one tricking him. Jacob thought that he was marrying Rachel, but woke up to find he had married Leah. 20 years earlier, Jacob had fled the promised land, a penniless fugitive. Now he was returning, a wealthy man. As he neared the promised land after all those years, Jacob learned Esau was coming with 400 men. Fearing the worst and hoping to appease his brother, Jacob sent several bands of livestock ahead of him as gifts. For further protection, he divided his camp into two groups and, out of fear, prayed to God for help. Throughout Jacob's life, he had gained a reputation as being self-reliant, in that any time he doubted whether God would deliver the blessings he had promised, Jacob resorted to deceit and trickery. He had done this with his father Isaac, with his brother Esau, and with his uncle Laban. However, this night would mark a turning point for Jacob, who was now learning to cast himself on the Lord for deliverance. Friends, far too often haven't we resorted to our means when facing a challenge and forgot prayer? Or do we only turn to God after we first exhausted our means? I'll be the first to admit it's easy when we have smooth sailing in life. Rather than relying on God, Satan entices us to be independent, not God-dependent. Our sinful pride blinds us, and our confidence convinces us that we can accomplish anything we desire. Beware, this is all a lie and a trap from the evil one. Returning to our reading, we heard how Jacob had sent all his family and possessions ahead of him across the river and remained alone overnight. We read, no ordinary night followed. So Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him till daybreak. This text, Martin Luther deemed as one of the most obscure in the Old Testament. For Jacob, this night would be a test of all tests. He would be pushed physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually to the limit as he fought an opponent all night long. Furthermore, as Jacob soon realized, this was no ordinary opponent. He was wrestling the Lord himself. Two things struck me as extraordinary about this text. The first was Jacob's age. He was now in his late 90s. The other was the wrestling match. It lasted all night long. In my prior career in law enforcement, officers would regularly have physical training on the mats, where we would try to gain control of our fellow officers who were acting as our opponents. This may come as a surprise to you, but if an officer ever found himself frantically fighting for his life, one could expect to have the energy and the stamina to last 1 to 2 minutes tops before being thoroughly exhausted. This has led some to discount this story as Jacob's nightmare, a dream, an allegory, or a legend. Yet later in the Old Testament, the prophet Hosea records this account as an actual historical event. Friends, you and I struggle alone on the spiritual battlefield of prayer against God. And this struggle is not an indication that something is wrong, but rather that everything is correct. God reveals in His Word that believers can anticipate struggles in prayer. And it is in prayer that we reveal our most desperate needs. We are hopeless on our own, as became evident to Jacob during the battle. When the man saw that he could not overpower him, he touched the socket of Jacob's hip so that his hip was wrenched as he wrestled with the man. In our prayers, we are to cast off all self-dependence, instead allowing Christ to contend for us, interceding on our behalf. Only in Christ are we strong to come to God boldly in prayer. Ever since the fall into sin, all humanity has faced the curse of death. Thankfully, God had a salvation plan, sending His Son, who did what we could not do, Through his active obedience, Jesus lived a perfect life, never sinning. Just as Jacob wrestled with the Lord for help and deliverance from his brother Esau, so his opponent would one day pray in the Garden of Gethsemane during Holy Week that the cup of suffering might be taken from him. Following the Father's will, Christ obediently went to the cross as the atoning sacrifice for you and me. His passion met our deepest needs. Jesus paid the price our sins demanded. Through Christ, we can now approach God the Father in prayer. On the battlefield of prayer, God wants us to display hard-fought persistence, for it is He Himself who gives us the desire and the power for that struggle. In our reading, we heard how Jacob hung on for dear life to his opponent with his dislocated hip and would not let go, boldly asking for a blessing. Then the man said, "Let me go, for it is daybreak." But Jacob replied, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." Luther rightly believed this blessing may have been the great patriarchal blessing first given to Abraham, then Isaac, and now Jacob, that through Jacob's seed the Messiah would come and all the nations of the earth would be blessed. Confident in Christ's promises, we hold God to His promises, promises that He will be with us, that He will not forsake us, and the promise of eternal life. Clinging to those promises through our persistent prayer, we know that God cannot lie. His word is truth. These prayer trials produce endurance on our part, refining and strengthening our faith. What resulted was Jacob displaying bold confidence in asking for the blessing. As we heard in our epistle reading today, when we ask for something in accordance with God's will, we can be confident we will receive it. In our account, Jacob's victory over the Lord to receive the blessing was surely the Lord's will from the beginning. Then the man said, "Your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God and with humans and have overcome." Struggling with God in prayer results in God's rich blessings. This would mark the high point of Jacob's faith. He would no longer be known as Jacob the self-helper. He was now Israel, he who struggles with God. Jacob had overcome, demonstrating the power of faith through prayer. God richly answered Jacob's prayer, performing a complete change of attitude in Esau's heart. The two were able to reconcile the following day. Just as Jacob would be reminded of this struggle with God through his dislocated hip and a new name, knowing God cannot lie, we are reminded not to wait until we're scared or out of options. Instead, turn to Jesus, our great intercessor, who promises to hear us and supply our needs. Take comfort through him. You have the promise of eternal life. Friends, returning to my family's hike up the mountain at the beginning of this message, that day, they gained a new appreciation for what it means to receive a reward through perseverance. Now let me ask you, what's the mountain you're currently facing in your prayer life? Whatever it might be, as Jesus said in our gospel lesson, the only question that remains is whether you are willing to wrestle with Him for those promises in prayer and hold on to those promises in faith. God's word reminds us that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Therefore, dear Christian, be persistent in your prayer struggles, clinging to Christ's promises. For by doing so, God will greatly delight in blessing you too. Amen. The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ. Amen.